Welcome to the Beekeeper's Corner Podcast.
May 2nd, 2014, episode number 56. This is a sidebar edition with the title Newbie. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Beekeeper's Corner Podcast. This is Kevin England. The agenda for this podcast is for those of you who are brand new to beekeeping, but it also can be used for veterans alike because you'll get a lot of questions if you're even in close iota of being a mentoring type person. I will note that I am driving in my vehicle, trying to be as safe as possible, so if you hear me pause and not pay attention to what I'm saying to you for a moment and get off track or make mistakes, just bear with me. I said I wasn't going to record in my vehicle, but I'm going to try this. And really what I'm rationalizing is this is my inner voice speaking out loud to you. So hopefully you'll bear with the formatting. So where are we going to go in this episode? I want to talk about those of you who have new bees. Whether you started from a package, whether you started from a split, whether you started from a nucleus hive that you purchased somewhere. And since my target audience is brand new people, maybe you do or don't know some of this terminology. And if you do, just bear with me as we go along for the ride. But most times when you buy bees, and by the way, I do realize that some of you listening have not received bees yet. So this will be helpful to stay at a fundamental level. And I'll speak at very basics so that everybody can follow along and nobody gets lost. In the United States, specifically in New Jersey where I am from, this is a time of year where people have just received and or are awaiting bees to be delivered to their home and or to pick up from some beekeeping operation. If you are ordering bees, you're typically ordering them through the mail or picking them up from someone who is bringing them in. And you are working with packages, which is literally a box of bees screened off. And the box of bees is something that you will dump into a hive body with frames, maybe comb if you have it, to start a new colony. The other way that you get started is you find a swarm somewhere and you bring that home and you put it in your box. Although I don't think a lot of areas are in the swarming mode yet. And the third trusted way is to buy a miniature hive, referred to as a nucleus hive, where you'll literally take the frames out of the mini hive and deposit them into one of your hives. I'm going to speak in general terms that most people are using Langstroth equipment, but I suppose these principles could stand if you're using a top bar hive or a wary hive or some other format or form factor. So first things first, I'm not going to go into a package install other than a general highlight. You're going to dump your bees in your box, you're going to install your queen, and you're going to put them in a box that is, if you're brand new, loaded with 10 frames. That's the typical construct. And they have nothing but foundation on them. Some of the questions that we get from people are, what about the phenomena that occasionally you put a package in a hive and within a short period of time it absconds, it leaves, it goes away. It didn't find what it wanted. That is a possibility, but I don't want to have everybody running and screaming, scared. Really, what you're looking for is hopefully you use fresh foundation, and you're going to check in short order to determine whether or not they're building out comb on that foundation. And ideally, you're going to feed them in some manner that would entice them to hang around while they get things going up and running. One thing about installing a package, I'll get to Nucleus in a minute, is as you're going to put your queen in, chances are your queen has been accepted by the package. It's been riding in the mail, after all. And that when you put that queen package down, the bees are responding nicely to the queen cage. When you install your queen, you can optionally let her out, or you can leave the queen cage there and allow the bees to remove her by consuming the plug, which is made of candy, and she will exit. And I'm going to operate from now the assumption that you've already installed your package and ready to go. Because really what I focus on is what happens after that, which is most of the time what the question is. So most people buy their packages and they get instructions and they get that far, but then after that, what do I do? So let me talk about nukes for 1 second. You've purchased your nuke and one of two things happened. You brought the nuke home and you pulled the frames out, you put it in your box, and then you brought the equipment back. Or you took your hive somewhere and you picked up the Nucleus from that location, you sealed it off and you brought it home and set it out in your yard. Either way, the procedure is the same if it's a package or a nuke. Your first order of business is to feed them. In a Nucleus hive, you're going to put the 5 frames, and I'm going to assume you starting with 5 frames because that's typical Nucleus that you buy. It comes with 5. But sometimes you buy a 2-frame nuke, a 3-frame nuke, a 4-frame nuke, a 5-frame nuke, and so on. You're going to put empty frames next to them if you're going foundationless, which is usually more advanced, or in the typical manner, you will put sheets of foundation frames outside of them. For the first week or two, your best objective is to make sure that they have something to eat. You're going to feed them. And how are you going to do that? A lot of beekeeping kits sell Boardman feeders. These are the mason jar style feeders. Ow, I just got run off the road by a jerk who was off into my lane. Always love that. I didn't hit anything, but through the ditch I went. See, I am paying attention as I drive. I went around a sharp corner and a Jeep was in my lane. I have to love that. Nice Friday afternoon surprise. Okay, back to our program, and I do remember where I was. You're going to put your foundation in, and they're going to build it out, and you're going to need to feed them. I don't recommend the entrance feeder or Boardman feeder. This is the inverted jar that you put in there. It's going to entice robbing. If it gets cool at night, that liquid is not going to stay warm enough for them to want to consume it in the morning. And you're going to spend a lot of time running in and out, keeping that thing full if they're using it. Would recommend a piece of equipment to purchase is an internal feeder. You can get that in just about any supply house. And you're going to put it on the outside position of your hive. And you're going to crack the inner cover, outer cover slid off, and slide it over and pour the liquid in and feed them. They'll benefit from the heat of the hive, keeping it warm, and the quantity is larger than a Boardman feeder. There are, of course, other methods. If you have equipment and means to do so, you can invert a pail. You could use harder candy, like something like fondant, which you probably don't know what it is, but it's like a sugar cake. But most people at this point feed liquid. And you are going to want to feed them because they're going to need the carbohydrate that they get from the sugar solution in order to build wax. And you're going to want to feed them. And what I mean by that is they eat a lot. A new hive in a day can consume quarts, half gallon, even a gallon if they're a gangbuster. And you want to give them as much as they could take. within reason, and I'll come back to that. Let me put a pin in that and I'll come back. But you want to feed them. Now, if you feed them, fear not if they don't take it. Because we're sitting in May and most of the United States is at a point where there is bloom available in plants and forage and nectar. And a normal operation during the course of the day would be for them to be bringing in nectar and pollen. And they're finding what they want, which is better than anything that you could feed them from plant source, plant materials. But at some point, they will take what you feed them. If the nectar flow drops, or as a matter of convenience, because literally right upstairs or alongside of the flow. So feed your bees. And let me take a quick pause here and talk about something. Now I'm going to enter into the realm, if you're new, of going down the path that some people in the bee community do not feel that feeding bees is the right way to start out a journey for a colony. And that a package of bees and so on should start their life by finding what's available in nature and making it on their own. I will suggest that the common wisdom, maybe it'll be proven wrong someday, but the common wisdom today as we stand is to feed your bees. And I have to suggest to you that if you're buying a package yesterday, those bees were in a hive, or last week they were in a hive, and they had no idea that they were going to be dumped out into a box, shipped across the country, and stuck in a colony on foundation. And that is not a normal circumstance. If you're starting with a nucleus colony that was being raised somewhere in your vicinity, while they still have been uprooted, they at least came from a traditional sense and hopefully have a queen that is locally mated and conducive to your environment. So you do have a difference here. But I want you to know that some people would say, never feed your bees, for on the outset, you are going to taint them. Now put that in your pocket and just leave it sit there. And somewhere down the road, as a new beekeeper, you'll be a more educated beekeeper. And if you want to make your choice as to whether you treat a new package in the conventional way, you'll have that wisdom. But I would think any state apiarist from any locale, agenda aside, would tell you conventional wisdom is feed your bees. But I'm trying to be transparent, give you full disclosure, just so you know that, in case somebody comes to you and says, you really shouldn't be feeding your bees. Smile and nod. Tell them thank you very much for that information. And move along. Of course, you are the beekeeper and you can follow your heart. And if you're convinced that's the way you're going to keep them, then you can go that route too. And we would not think less of you. You're starting your box in a typical Langstroth hive. And by the way, most people start in a deep box, meaning a conventional depth. There are people who do beekeeping and they start literally with all medium equipment, medium depth. That's okay. But when you're starting with a medium, when you're starting with a nucleus hive, and or if you're starting with anything that has drawn comb, meaning they already built comb, you're not on plain foundation that you bought from the store, it requires a little more diligence in your timing because they will build out faster and you do not want them to get crowded in the box. So here's the guidance. Think about a standard construct. You have 10 frames in your box. The one closest to you is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 is the farthest away. A colony that is starting out in life will build generally in the middle of the box, and they will build out comb all the way through to the outside, and they will populate the brood chamber where the bees are being built, eggs, larvae, capped larvae, and emerging bees in the middle. And just to the outside of them is their refrigerator. That's where they're going to put their pollen, and they're going to put their honey. All the way to the outside is typically honey. So what do I mean by that? 3, 4, 5, 6, those frames are typically brood frames. You're going to see bees being built in there. The queen is going to operate in that space, and the nurse bees are going to take care of them. In frames 2, 6, 7, 8, that, you know, the outside frames, you're going to see usually a mix of honey, which looks like a hard, dark glass in the cell. Actually, let me correct that. You're going to see nectar stored. After it's ripened, it becomes honey and processed, and it gets capped with a wax cap. So you'll see a mixture of honey, and you'll see a mixture of pollen in those frames on the outside. And then literally, the outside frames, 1 and 10, when they're going to town and they're packing it in, will be honey. It'll be honey that's processed and capped. A typical brood frame, right through the middle, will have a graduation in the beginning of bees. You'll see some capped cells. It'll be covered with a papery substance, looks like a blonde paper bag, paper sack that you get from your local grocery store. It's going to start out as a golden tan, almost hay color, and eventually it will darken as the bees work with it, and it will progress darker and darker, and the longer it's in there, it'll turn to a mahogany brown. That's just the natural maturation of capped cells and what they look like. And your comb will turn from a light white yellow to a golden yellow to a mahogany color to a deep brown over the span of weeks, months, years. So you're watching your brood, and hopefully after a period of time, you're going to check on how your queen is doing. So let me stop there and kind of reset. You've loaded your bees. They've stayed home. They started to build comb. They're now building the colony out. They're building bees. They're foraging for stores. They're in operation. They're still in the first box. They're building out through box number 1 to the outside edges. Somewhere along the path, without interrupting them too much, you're going to go in and do an inspection, and you're going to peek on them to see how they're progressing. You're going to start that inspection by standing outside the hive and watching the bees come and go. When they come and go, new bees will come out of the hive and they'll fly circles. Look at the hive, look at the sun, look at the hive, look at the sun. Those are called orientation flights. They're learning where home is so that when they leave home, they can find their way back. And they use the sun as their north star, so to speak. That's normal. You should see them bringing back pollen. You should see them come in, land on the board. The bees at the entrance will be greeting them, will be checking up on them, and then they will let them in the hive. If you see them darting through to the front entrance with no pollen, that's a different concern. So hold on to that. You can learn a lot and understand a lot by what's going on with a bee at the entrance without ever having to go into the hive. And one of the other things that I'll suggest to you is that you could grab onto the back handle of the hive as it sits there and just pick it up. Give it a little bit of a tilt. Feel how heavy it is. Feel how heavy it gets. Feel how it's adding weight periodically. You never have to go in the hive to do this. if you see the bees bringing in pollen, they're bringing in pollen to feed somebody, presumably new bees. You see them land at the entrance, and they're very full, and they're pumping their abdomen. They're loaded with nectar or some resource, maybe propolis, which they use inside the hive. And they've carried a lot of weight. And when you see the abdomen pumping back and forth, they're breathing like an air, like your smoker. When you're squeezing the smoker, they move their abdomen back and forth to draw air through their air holes called spiracles. And they've just flown from somewhere carrying a lot of weight relative to their body mass. And they stop on the entrance board and they take a break and get air in. Then they go in the hive and get to their business. After a period of time when they've had some chance to get acclimated, and on a warm day, you're going to crack the cover. Well, first, let me just tell you this. Light your smoker. Give a little bit of smoke at the entrance. You don't have to gas them. Wait for a period. You'll hear a buzz. Take the outer roof off. Maybe put a little smoke in the hole. Get your hive tool out. Crack the inner cover. Give a little bit of smoke underneath the inner cover and put it back. After they've settled a little bit, take the inner cover off and take a peek at your bees. Do not stand literally over the hive, as any guard bees will immediately leap off and attempt to sting you or buzz you or bang on you or whatever. You want to kind of look from the side, but operate from the back of the hive. And when you're approaching the hive, come from the back. Do not come in their flight path, because the guard bees are immediately going to see you. Take a look at what's going on. Look at the outside frames. Have they gotten to pollen? Have they gotten to nectar? Are they building those outside frames? If you see that they've gotten to 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, then it's time to put another box on top. They don't literally have to build out to 1 and 10. In due time, they will. But you don't want to wait till they're chock full. And you want to take advantage of a workforce in the thrust of nectar and pollen availability so that they'll build comb out. So put your box up on top with foundation and close them off. One thing that you could do to help your situation for box number 2 that you're going to put over top of your original box is to pull frame number 2 or 3 if it's built and put its foundation frame in its place. If it has brood on it, don't do that. You don't want to put a brood frame in this suggestion. But if it has built out comb with some stores on it, take that out and put it right over top of the brood in box number 2. Now, the reason I caution you about that frame number 3, is bees don't always follow the rules. Depending on where the heat source is and the sun, how it strikes your hive, or their whim, the queen might have built all of her brood in 1, 2, 3, and 4, and there's nothing over in 7, 8, 9. Never know, because they make their own rules. But what I'm saying is, you're going to take a drawn frame and put it up in the top box with some stuff in it. The bees are going to go up there and use that resource, and they don't particularly like resource sitting next to foundation frames, and you're going to entice them to go up in that top box and build. Now, coming back to a nucleus hive, you built a nucleus hive, put it in the middle of your box, you put foundation to the sides of it, you're going to follow the same rules. But again, they're going to start faster. They already have a working queen, they already have brood, they already have all that stuff. If you follow the beekeeping guide that we gave, if you happen to saunter upon that, or you're part of a beekeepers association, you'll typically hear that one of the recommendations is you start with more than one hive. If you're not familiar with this, the reason you do that is sometimes hives don't work the way they should. Most times, if you put two up, one of them works well, and if the other one is not good, it becomes immediately evident with two hives. But if you're brand new and you start with one hive and it's not a good operating hive, you'll be none the wiser, other than visibly you'll probably understand it's off to a slow start. There are times when queens come and they're not properly mated. Maybe they were mated too early. Maybe they're just not a good quality queen. Maybe they're just working on their own time. Who knows? When you have one hive that's running and building quickly and expanding visibly, you could see it, and you have another hive that just built two frames and it's not doing anything, and there nobody's doing, the bees are lackadaisical, it becomes immediately obvious. When the time comes that you're taking a look, and I said, you put smoke in the entrance, you took the top off, you smoked through the hole, you pop the top cover, put a little smoke underneath it, and now you're going to go look at the hive. When you take that top cover off, you're going to look at the bees on the frame. Are they all right up across the top? Are they walking across the top bars? Are they standing there all eyes up looking at you? If they are, give a little puff of smoke and have them go down into the hive and pull your frames. Start with the outermost frame where you do the less disturbing, because it's probably not overly built out. And then when you pull that frame, you'll make room to slide the other frames over. You don't literally have to pull every frame over and out. Once you make that first hole, you can slide 2, 3, 4 over. And here's what I'm after. My suggestion to you is get to a brood frame. Take out a brood frame and look at the pattern that the queen has. Theoretically, whoever you bought your package from has done this already and knows that your queen's going to have a good pattern. And what do I mean by a good pattern? When you look at how the queen has laid her eggs, you will see an area that's all tight together with not a lot of holes through it, and all the bees are kind of congregated in one space on the face of the frame. The opposite of that is shotgun pattern. She lays one in the upper corner, she lays one in the lower corner, she lays one through the middle, she lays one, and it looks like scattered shotgun holes through the breed pattern. That means that your queen is either still practicing, doesn't quite have it figured out yet, or she needs to be watched because maybe she's not up to speed. And sometimes new queens don't operate well. So you'll keep an eye on that. So you're just looking for a good pattern. And 99% of the time you're going to find a good pattern. You're going to put that frame back inside the hive. You're going to close up things, and you're just going to keep maintaining feed for them so that they can build wax and build out your second box. And you're just going to keep feeding them through. And your objective for year number one is to get that colony to build so that you can get it to overwinter. Now, one thing I want to say, a couple tips and tricks. Concept number one. The queen can go wherever she wants. So that first day that you go into your hive and you take the inner cover off and you give a little smoke and you crack that. Wait, let me restate that. You take the outer cover off, you crack the inner cover and you pull it off and you set it over in the grass. There's nothing saying that the queen can't be on there. So every time you're working in a hive, be slow, be deliberate, and keep an eye out for the queen. You do not want to drop her in the grass or cause any problems. I don't want to scare you, so think of this. 9 times out of 10, she's doing what she does for a living. She's in the brood chamber area and she's laying eggs. But every once in a while, she might take a break. She might do something. You do literally see the queen on the inner cover, standing at the entrance sometimes, things like that. Number two. Use your smoke your hands, keep your protection set up so that you're comfortable with your bees and you're not worried about being stung. being stung is a rite of passage, but it takes a little bit of, dare I say, practice. It's never fun to be stung, especially if it's new. I can promise you this, if you stay at it long enough, eventually you won't think a thing of it. And you'll also learn how to handle the bees, so that if you get stung, you're not going to get hammered. When you get stung, there's two ways to get stung. A full penetration sting, and a sting that just pokes the surface. If you reach down and grab a frame, and don't look where you're reaching, or you're using gloves and you're not very dexterous, you don't have the dexterity, and you're squeezing bees, they will sting you. And when you squeeze a bee barehanded, for example, really hard, that sting can go very deep, and they're getting the maximum amount of venom in there, and you're going to blow up like a balloon. So you want to take your time, slow, deliberate movements. But I want you to understand this. When you're working in your hive, before you get to that hive, you should be running through the motions of what you're going to do. You should have an objective. I'm going to go in the hive and I'm going to look at the brood pattern and then I'm going to put it back together. I don't care if it's 60 degrees, 70 degrees, the inner chamber and the brood chamber is 95 degrees. That's how they keep it. As soon as you take that roof off, you're chilling the bees. It's like opening a door on a cold day to them. The other thing is, if you're working with boxes and you take them and you set them aside, let's say you're at the point where you have two boxes. You take the top one off because you want to inspect the bottom one. Cover the top one off. Take the inner cover and put it over top of it. Remember, with the roof and the inner cover on, they're in the dark in there. And every time you expose them to the sun, they realize that something has changed. Another tip and trick is keep movement around the hives. Don't be the only thing moving. And talk to your bees and talk to yourself for your sanity. So, we're at a half hour. I think that's enough. We'll probably follow this up with additional advice. Currently, I have some nucleus hives that I'm starting from scratch in my apiary. So, what I'm going to do is talk about those in the same way that you are. I'll be a step behind you, but I'll talk about what we're going to do following. Because building out a nuke from a split is very similar to building a hive from beginning. So I get to live vicariously in that way and explain this to you. So occasionally, I'll be coming back and telling you what's next. I think in our future, we'll talk about Varroa. We'll talk about inspections. We'll talk about planning, equipment, and things like that as a new beekeeper, things that you should be keeping in mind. I'm going to end this with one other notion. This is a brand new hive. A brand new hive that started with a package of bees or a small nucleus. They're now in a full hive size body. They have to be able to protect themselves. A full colony in the spring runs 20, 30, 40,000, even monster hives to 50,000 bees. Those bees, if they find your hive, see it like a candy store if it has resources for them to use. It is not unlikely where you live that you have a colony somewhere in your vicinity that could come in and raid your hive. At the beginning, you're going to have a small entrance. Over a period of time, when you build out that first box and you start to put the second one on, you're going to go through a period of adjustments to open that entrance. When you get to two full boxes, at that time frame, you're going to take your entrance guard off. So we'll go through that, but right now you should be probably at a small to medium entrance depending on how far along you are. Some of you got your bees early in April, if you're in the Northeast United States. Some of you might have gotten them earlier if you're in the South. Some of you may not have gotten your bees, and you're going to start with a small entrance. So just talking about an entrance guard. So I hope you found this helpful. And if you're a seasoned beekeeper and you've listened your way through this, be a good doobie, and go out and mentor your friends and your new beekeepers. Support them. Give them guidance and advice. Remember how it was to start and have the apprehension. Be there for them as we've been here for you. Thank you, everybody, and we'll catch you next time on the Beekeeper's Corner podcast.